And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because of the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said unto Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Beersor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, and he and 400 men for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Beersor. Verse 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that had taken to them. David recovered all. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and to the doers of his word. Amen. 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 I don't know what's going on in the spirit this morning, but there's some people that's battling some stuff, and it's mostly in you this morning. And I'm looking at it. I'm seeing it. Amen. And we're going to knock it out today. Amen. We're going to knock it out. Amen. Amen. From this book of 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, we're going to look at the topic or the title or the thought, mature response to life's letdowns. Amen. A mature response to life's letdowns. And my subtopic, a take it back anointing. Amen. Amen. We've dealt with our mature responses to wilderness worries. We dealt with a mature response to, what was the other one? A mature response to wilderness worries, a mature response to shipwrecks. Amen. A comeback anointing, a shake it off anointing. And now we're going to deal with a take it back anointing. Amen. 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 Praise his name. The grass wither and the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Well, here we are in the book of 1 Samuel. We know that Samuel, if you are a student of the Bible and you have studied the Old Testament survey, you'll find that Samuel was actually the first of his kind to be prophet and judge. Amen. He was chosen from his mother's womb. God gave him to her, and she gave him back to God. And he grew up in the house of the Lord. If you want to get your children to where they're supposed to be in life, give them back to God. Raise them in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let me just stop just for a minute there and just talk to you about that, because a lot of times we allow BET to raise our children, MTV to raise our children. Amen. You watching these housewives shows and not realizing your daughter's picking up Nene's attitude. Oh, come on and say amen. I don't know all of them, but let me tell you something. I don't want to have her in the house with me. Come on and say amen. We need to put our children and raise them in the house of God. Amen here. I'm not picking on anybody, but I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. Amen. But it's some things that we allow our children to partake in, and we don't even push them to partake in church. Come on and say amen. We don't push them to partake in worship. We let them slack and sit back and not even participate in worship. But soon as a certain song come on, oh yeah, you got that dance, baby. Well, why don't you teach them how to dance for the Lord? I'm not going to stay there, but I just wanted to show you that Samuel was raised, amen, he was raised in the house of God. Samuel was the last judge and the first of the prophets to begin to guide Israel, amen? And so Samuel, his name actually meant the name of God. Because Israel had forgotten the name of God. They had been taken away captive so many times, and so many judges had to be raised up, and deliverers in the book of Judges had to be raised up to bring Israel back in line. But God was letting them know, because you've forgotten my name, you've forgotten who I am, and you've forgotten that I'm holy, you've forgotten that I'm a judge, you've forgotten who I really am and what I can do, and so I'm going to give you my name to judge you. But I'm also going to give you my name to guide you. Come on and say amen. Samuel, his name meant the name of God. And Samuel grew up, and Samuel was one who anointed the first king of Israel, who was Saul. And the setting here is that Saul, the first king of Israel, had become, for 2 years, he was all right. But for about 38 years, Saul was thinking that he was following God. But he really was following the people and following his own ambitions. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, for 2 years, he was really humble. But he came from his humility and got lifted up in pride. For 2 years, he was a worshiper of God. And then after that, he became a worshiper, amen, of idols. He even fell into witchcraft, and he had a spirit of the enemy that came to him and vexed him. And the only person that could help him was David. David would play because he was anointed. He could play on his instrument, and that spirit would leave. But then Saul got so angry with David, because people liked David, that he threw a javelin at David and tried to kill him and plotted to hunt him down and have him killed. So here's the story. David is on the run, and David decides to go over into the land of the Philistines because he had some favor over there. Amen? Now, you got to remember, it's something how when it seems like things are not going your way, how you can go back out into the world, and then the people that you thought that you was your enemies, they'll embrace you. But the people in the church seem like they'll push you away. Come on and say amen. But let me tell you what happens. Really, God gives you favor regardless. Amen. David had favor with the king Achish of the Philistines. And they said, look, they had enough sense enough to know that if I can get David on my team, then that's less we have to fight, because he's a champion. If I can get David on my team, then we might be able to get him to destroy Israel. Come on and say amen. And so he lived over there, and they gave him an area called Ziklag. They gave him a city that was called Ziklag, that was right across the border of Judah, so that he could live there. And he had men just like him. He had men that were that had been cast out, men that were disoriented, men that had been sent away from wherever they were, and they were rejected men, and they came to David, and David became their leader. It was Samuel who anointed not only Saul, but it was Samuel who anointed David. David was anointed 3 times. Amen. He anointed David to be king, but here it is, the supposed to be king on the run. And then he finds himself in Ziklag, and then finds himself in alliance with people who are uncircumcised, who are unclean. Amen. And while he's away helping out, while he's away doing some things, he and his 600 men, he leaves his family, he leaves his wife, his children, and along with all those other men, they left them to go out and see the battle. Well, when they got to the battle, the king had a counselor that said, what if David decides in the heat of the battle that he wants to turn against us? We better not let him fight. And he said, okay, David, you need to go back. And so David, they were about 50 miles. His home was about 50 miles away from the battle. And it took them 3 days to get back. I'm just telling you the story, giving you a little bit here. And so when David got back, they found themselves in a place of pain. They found themselves in Ziklag, and they saw the city had been burned, and there was not a soul left to tell them what happened.
Not only that, not only did they take the people, but every possession, everything that those Amalekites could take with them, they stole from David. If you didn't know by now, I want to let you know that the devil come but to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, the only thing that'll keep him from doing that is God. God allowed them to be stolen from, allowed them to steal, but they couldn't kill. Allowed them to destroy their home, but they couldn't kill. You see, God wants you to understand that even though in this text, even though the devil steals from you, even though he destroys some things, oh, come on and say amen. We need to know that he won't allow him to kill you because he wants to bring you back. He wants to build you back up. Come on and say hallelujah. But here it is, we find in verse 1 through 6, their painful predicament. And it came to pass when David and his men were at Ziklag on the third day that the men, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and they smitten and burned Ziklag with fire, destroyed it with fire, and had taken the women captives and them therein, and they did not slay them, amen? And they went on their way. But then it says in verse 3, and so David and the men, they saw the city, and they began to weep, amen? And the Bible says in verse 4, and David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice, and they wept until they had no more power to weep. It was such a pain that they had no more power to shed a tear. You know, sometimes you may go through some things and you say, you know, I just can't cry no more. I'm hurt still. I'm going through it still, but I just don't have the energy to cry. They had gotten to the point, not just, you know, dealing with something on one day. They got to the point to where they shed so many tears and laid out on the ground and screamed and they hollered for their family, and they could not even do it anymore. They had no more power to weep. Come on and say amen here. You know how some things happen and you say, I don't know what to do. All I can do is cry. All I can do is weep. Amen. And verse 5 saying, David and his two wives were taken. And it lets you know that David had a problem here too. And David was greatly distressed in verse 6. For the people spake of stoning him because of the souls of the people were grieved. And every man's son and daughter. But then it says, and David encouraged himself. This painful predicament that they were in now was not really their fault, although it was somewhat their fault. Because I'm talking about the people that were following David. It was not really their fault because they were following a man of God. They were following a man after God's own heart. And all of a sudden, something happened to them. Amen. Something happened to them to the point to where they had an experience and a predicament that they had gotten into that was so painful that they decided they wanted to turn on the man of God. David was so distressed, the Bible says, that he got to the point to where he had to encourage himself. There was nobody else to speak a kind word to him. Have you ever been in a predicament and in a place, in a painful situation, to where it seemed like nobody's around to speak a word of encouragement to you? Seemed like nobody cares. There's nobody to call and say, how you doing? There's no text going through. Come on and say amen. There's nobody that seemed to care, but everybody seems to blame you for everything that's happening. Come on. Everybody seemed to think that it's something wrong with you. Come on and say amen. It seemed to be painful and a predicament that none of us wants to be in, but here David finds himself in a position to where people are saying, David, I want to kill you because it's your fault. I'm reminded of when I read some of the things about Dr. Martin Luther King. He said that he really, when they were threatening to kill him and when they bombed the church and those girls got, they died in the church bombing. And Dr. King said, you know, I wish I had never done this. I wish because they're killing people all because of me. Don't you know there's some pain involved in that, to know that because people are following you that they get hurt? Oh, come on and say amen here. Oh yeah, so what David did, he had to encourage himself. And you know, now, you know, David had to encourage himself, but we have no excuse for not being encouraged. Why? Let me tell you why. Because David didn't have the Holy Ghost living on the inside. So I don't really have to encourage myself because the Holy Ghost inside of me Y'all don't hear me this morning. You ain't got to say nothing, but because I got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me, he will encourage me. He will lift me up. The scripture said when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard, and that's the Holy Ghost on the inside. He won't let you stay down. He won't let you stay in that position of pitifulness, but he'll lift you up. And he'll give you a word. He'll remind you of how good God is. He'll remind you that God can and that God will. He'll remind you that he can do exceedingly and abundantly. And above all, he can ask or think according to the power that work in us. Can I get anybody here that realize that if it had not been for the Lord on your side, where would you be? The Holy Ghost on the inside of us. David had to encourage himself, but we don't have to encourage ourselves now because the Holy Ghost will always, he never fails. He will always give you a word. Look, sometimes he talks to us and we try to talk ourselves out of it. The Holy Ghost tell you it's going to be all right. And then we say, but you just don't understand. You don't know. Look at what they've done to me. And the Holy Ghost said, I know what they've done. I got you and I'm going to work this thing out. The Holy Ghost reminds you that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. The Holy Ghost will remind you of that. The Holy Ghost will remind you that no weapon formed against you will prosper. The Holy Ghost reminds you that if God be for you, I wish I had a church. If God be for you, then who can be against you? Even in your pain, he'll encourage you. He says David encouraged himself. David had to act out. He had to say, oh, it's going to be all right. He had to let himself know that everything is going to be all right. Oh, yeah, you need to tell your neighbor, I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. Oh, yeah, you need to believe that. I believe that everything, I don't care what you're going through, every big thing, every little thing, every small thing, every large thing, every hurtful thing, come on, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Oh, yes, it is. Hallelujah. It says that David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. You know, some people encourage themselves, but they encourage themselves to do some other things. I'm going to get them. They encouraging themselves. Then they pop in Boosie, and he encourages them. Y'all don't hear me, I know. Encourage them to go out and do some things. Oh, come on and say amen here. Oh, yeah, go and tear it up. Go and break it down. I got something for you. Encouraging yourself. But he said he encouraged himself where? He didn't get out of line. He stayed in the Lord. Oh, yeah, he didn't let Boosie tell him what to do, but he got in the Lord. Oh, yeah, he didn't let Kurt, oh, come on and say, man. He didn't let Kurt Franklin tell him what to do. What are you talking about, stomp? You know what you want to stomp somebody? No, but I'm going to encourage myself where? In the Lord. Be encouraged in the Lord. Amen. Verse 7, look at this. He says, and David said unto Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray, bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Now, we got to understand that there's a picture of Christ in all of this, and you'll see it after I paint the picture. But David, after his painful predicament, David says, look, I need to have a productive prayer. Come on and say amen. Verse 7 continues to say that he brought it to him, and then verse 8 says, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? And he says, shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them without fail and recover all. Look at this. David had a productive prayer. What did he call for? He called for an ephod. Let me let you know what this is. This is the priestly garment that when the priests went before God, they put it on, amen, so that they can go and inquire of God or they can go and serve God. They went before God with the ephod on. It was a piece of clothing that fitted the man of God or the priest so that they could go before God, amen. It covered the area mostly of the heart area, amen, because they had to be right in their heart. So David put on the ephod so that he can go and he could get in the presence of God, so he began to pray, amen. Some of us need to put on our ephods. You need to get in a place where you can go into the presence of God. Amen. You need to get your heart right. That's what it really meant. You need to get your heart right so you can go in the presence of God. The reason why you need your heart right is because God will speak to your heart. Amen in here. The reason you need your heart right is because the only way that you'll know what God is saying to you is that if your heart is clean, because we got to understand that only the pure at heart shall see God, Matthew 5. And so we got to understand that when we go to God, our hearts need to be right, because when he sees us and we come before God and then he gives us the peace of God, the scripture says that let the peace of God rule your heart. Well, the word rule in the Greek, it really means to be the umpire. So when God speaks to your heart, he really gives peace to your heart, or allows peace to be the umpire in your heart. What does the umpire do? The umpire stands behind home plate. Amen. And the umpire judges whether or not something is good, is a strike, or if it's a ball. Oh, come on and say amen. But not only that, the umpire judges whether or not you're out, or whether you're, come on, whether you're safe. So David said, let me put on the ephod, because I need God to speak to my heart to let me know if I'm out of his will or if I'm safe. Y'all ought to get with me this morning. You slow this morning. Or if I'm safe in his will. And sometimes we get out of the will of God, and because our heart is not right, we can't go into the presence of God for him to give us the peace of God so that we'll know whether to pursue the enemy. Boy, I said a lot there. You should have caught it, because I can't say it again. But we got to get our hearts right so God will give us the peace that we need to let us know when we're safe in the will of God or whether we're out of the will of God. Come on and say amen. And you know, one thing I found out, you can't argue with the umpire, because you can't have your way. I don't care how you kick up dust. You ever see those managers from the baseball team? They don't like a call, but they kick dust up because they can't touch him though. And let me tell you something, the devil, I don't care how much dust he kicks up in your life, he can't touch the God in you. He can't touch the peace. Oh, hallelujah. He can't touch the peace of God, because it's down on the inside of you. Oh, hallelujah. He had a productive prayer. And that's why the Bible said we ought to seek the Lord. Amen. He says that we ought to have an effectual, fervent prayer. Why? Because the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. Oh, yeah, when I pray, I know I'm going to hear from God. When I pray, I know that God is looking and listening. Come on and say amen. The effectual, fervent prayer. When you look at the word effectual and fervent, my prayer ought to be effective, and the word fervent means to put some heat under it and to the point to where it begins to boil over. And so, in other words, I don't just get up and I give a repetitious prayer, Lord, help me, Lord, have mercy. No, but I keep on praying until I get heat it up in this thing, until I get some heat, come on, until I get the coldness away from it, and I begin to boil over with prayer. I begin to boil over with a testimony, begin to boil over with joy, begin to boil over with peace, begin to boil over, come on and say amen. Oh yeah, I begin to boil over with faith, and so I get an effectual and fervent prayer, and that's why my prayer will avail against whatever I'm going through. And look, the Bible even tells us, Jesus said that man ought to always pray and not faint. While they were weeping and they had no more strength to weep, while they fainted, David said, I can't faint because I got faith. I need the ephod. I need to get in the presence of God. While everybody else was fainting, I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're going through. But if everybody in the family faint, you can't afford to faint. You got to be the one to put on the ephod. You got to be the one that fight. You can't faint. You have to fight. Come on and say amen. And so no matter what everybody else in the family, everybody else in the house, everybody else on the job, everybody else in your crew, no matter what they do, you can't afford to faint. You need to put on your ephod and get in the presence of God, because Jesus said man ought to always pray and not to faint. That's why Jesus turned around and said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find it. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. He said, if you ask anything in my name, he said, the Father in heaven will give it to you. Oh, come on and say amen here. See, we got to understand that it's important to pray. It's important for us to talk to the Lord, because when we begin to pray, then God opens up his ears. And the Bible said that he inclines his ears to the righteous's call. And so if God is listening to you, you need to at least open up your mouth and talk to him, because he's listening. Oh, come on and say amen. It ain't nothing like having nothing to say when somebody's waiting on you to say something. Oh yeah, you try to find something to say. And so what I'm trying to let you know today, that even if you don't know what to say, at least open up your mouth and just say thank you, Lord. Oh, that's why he said when you pray. Oh, that's what the Bible says. He said that when you pray, he said, let your request be made known by thanksgiving. I don't know how to ask him for something, but so I'll just thank him before I ask him. Lord, I thank you for my healing. I thank you for a deliverance. I thank you for a peace. I thank you for a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. I thank you, Lord, that you're giving me favor, that you opened up the doors that was closed in my face. I thank you for a miracle. I thank you for a ministry. I thank you for a word. Y'all not listening this morning. You need to thank God in your prayer time. Stop asking God to have pity on you. He's already done that. He's already had mercy on you. I don't need God to have pity on me. I want him to just have mercy on me and then give me his grace, because by the grace of the Lord, I can make it. Oh, come on and say amen. I'm reminded of that old song that said, by the grace of the Lord, I come a long way. If it had not been for the grace.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Feel sanctified, know that I feel sanctified, feel with all.